What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Oh my god, hi. I feel like so many things have already happened. I have so many things on my mind.
Incredible.
Yeah, I've been...
You're busy.
I've been pushing the button on my electric toothbrush over and over again to...
Wow.
To drain the charge because it's my... I have this new toothbrush that I talked about several weeks ago. And it holds...
On the podcast?
Yeah. I bought a new electric toothbrush called Suri because my old electric toothbrush, which was the same one that you have with the pick, with the water pick and everything...
Mm-hmm.
I started to get grossed out by it. I thought this has a tube I can't clean out. You know, I just was like, I was like, it's been too long.
You can also get a new tube, which I had to do because it was broken
or something. Anyways,
something, it wasn't working.
I bought this new toothbrush that Instagram was desperate for me to buy. Right.
A non-water pick.
Just a regular. But these electric toothbrushes have made advances, let me tell you what, because not only is it elegant and it can come apart so you can, like, have it repaired or whatever, but it holds the charge for, like, 40 days, okay?
That's so nice.
And so I just have this little dupe that is, like, stuck onto the tiles of the shower where it rests. It's a magnet, so it just, like, boop, it just pops up there. And it's not charging there. It's just seemingly there, possessed by electricity for the rest of its life.
Well, this is, like, your phantom...
electric shaver. Oh, my something. God, thank you for remembering that, because I've been thinking...
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it this week.
Maybe you're electric.
No.
Maybe you're electrified.
This object was, I was told, is going to hold a charge for 40 days. And so,
forever.
But now I'm leaving tomorrow for one full month to go to Europe.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm seeing you today.
That's true. And I'm seeing you this evening.
I love it.
And I want my toothbrush to have the charge drained so I can recharge it. So I know it's going to be at 100 for the whole trip. Right. Which doesn't matter because the case that you carry it in can also charge the toothbrush if you plug it in. But
so what are you doing?
Well, I'm also doing this thing where, like, you know how if you fully power your electric device before you ever use it and then let the power drain all the way before you charge it again, you're setting up your battery to have a good life.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, I don't know the science about that, but that's what they say, and it seems to be real. Because if you fuss around with your...
I never heard about the, like, letting it drain completely part.
That's, I may have made that up.
Something I've seen in handbooks or...
Well, manuals. I've been engaging with this theory I made up right now, which is to drain the power from this electric toothbrush before I charge it again.
Okay. I don't know about that, and I think you should just keep using it until you charge it again.
All right.
It's going to be fine.
I think you're right. Anyways, I did yoga this morning. I went to Sky Ting. My friend Chrissy has a new space on Lafayette. It's absolutely beautiful. And I took yoga at 8, and my hips are so tight, I was concerned. I was like, something's changed. And you know what it is? It's line dance.
Your body. Oh, gotta stop line dancing.
No. I just have to cross train. I have to cross train. but I had a wonderful time line dancing last night. It was a really, like, one of those nights you just flow right through.
You were just floating.
And like I got to do a request.
Bridgerton.
Because when I walked in, I said, tonight I'm going to be gone for a month. She said, oh my God, what would you like to dance tonight? And
what was it?
I wanted to dance a dance called Spell that my friend Samantha, who takes the class, choreographed with our other friend Carolina. And so we danced Spell by Carolina and Sam. And that was really fun.
What a dream.
Yeah, it was
what
really
a dream.
Good. And that was the last dance of the night. And I walked home and the it had rained, so somehow, like, the barometric pressure had shifted because I was feeling bad yesterday. I was like, my body felt bad, my mind felt bad. But then once the rain happened,
everything cleared
it
away.
It did,
after
it really
a spell.
Really did it. After the spell. And then the other thing I wanted to tell you is that I'm reading a book that I highly recommend.
Really?
Yes. And it's short, so it's almost disappointingly short.
That's too bad.
But it's called...
What is it?
It's by John McPhee, and it's a book about oranges, and it's called Oranges.
Oh, I love things about oranges.
It is almost a science book, but it is a thrill. I can't...
Wow.
I have learned so much about oranges, and I didn't even know I wanted to.
Well, you didn't, but it's not about oranges, right? You know what I mean?
I don't... Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, so well-written that you're like, wow, I suddenly know about oranges.
Yeah.
And oranges are truly... crazy. They're crazy.
Are they crazy or are they like everything else? Is everything crazy?
I don't think apples and co are as crazy as oranges.
What's going on with oranges?
Oranges, and people can correct me if I'm wrong if they know about apples, but
no, don't you dare.
Oranges are so erratic. Like, if you were to, like, lop off the top of an orange tree and then, like, just plant it somewhere and then it grew again, it might be limes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? It might be limes.
It might just come out limes.
Well, apples are also wild. They're not going to turn out to be a different fruit. I mean, so, I don't know what the difference between a lemon and a lime and an orange is.
Some citrus plants will bear... multiple different citrus fruits. Same time.
I want one of those.
Same time.
That's so fun.
And, oh my God, there's just so many things to say about it.
Okay.
One time these people wanted to, like, regrow these special kind of limes. And so they went searching for seeds. And as we know, limes, they don't have many seeds. So they, like, went to some, like, juicing plant. And they got, like, hundreds of thousands of limes and went searching. Guess they got 250 seeds.
Well, slay.
They planted all the seeds.
And they came out oranges.
They got 5 lime trees, period.
Out of 250 seeds.
Yeah, and they were thrilled with that result. Thrilled.
So where do limes come from?
Nobody even knows.
Yes. Well, you know, apple trees are notoriously grafted to keep... consistency.
Right.
So, you know, the seed journey, I think, is a wild one.
Right. You know those tangerines where, like, the stem pops off so easy, leaves a hole?
Not personally.
No, you know, like, when you're peeling it, it just, like, everything comes apart. Well, when you pick them, it also will mar the fruit if you just pick it. So they have to be clipped. Mm-hmm. They have to be clipped off the trees.
Sure.
And you make a lot more money picking tangerines.
Great, if you clip them.
Yeah, if you're clipping, you're making more money. I mean, this book was written a long time ago, so, like, there's some crazy language, and the prices of things seem insane to me. But
like a penny for a bushel.
Well, the amount of money people are being paid to pick. They're like, you get paid $40 if you pick 20,000 oranges, and I'm like, what?
The Cider House Rules.
I love that book too.
Of course you do.
Love that book.
I'm reading Judith Butler's new book, which is just really, you know, such a joy.
Really?
To read about,
it's a joy.
The horrors of the world. It's really just. Every morning I read some and I just puts me in this really particular mood.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
So check it out.
Sorry. Also, 2 other things happened to me this morning. Okay. What is Judith Butler's book called, A of All?
It's called Who's Afraid of Gender?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I decided to take a shower before we recorded the podcast, so I wasn't sitting in my wet underwear from yoga class.
Thank God.
And I'm really glad I did. And I don't know why I ever have pause or resistance towards getting in the shower, because once I'm in it, I'm like, it's great in here. I love showering.
I would love to be in a bath or a shower at all times.
Yeah, but there is, like, the few minutes before it, I am like, oh, I have to take a shower. Is that weird?
I don't know if it's weird, but...
yeah, anyways.
Maybe worth looking at.
Also, this phenomenon happened that has happened many, many... single people or people who've been on apps for dating will relate to the story I'm about to tell.
Okay.
But I have been in a very infrequent chat with someone on an application for 5 to 7 years.
Incredible.
I've never met them. Never met them.
Long-term relationship.
Literally, we're in a long-term relationship. I speak to them once a year, perhaps twice. Anyways,
past lives.
I walked past them today.
And what happened?
We looked at each other. I gave him a really big smile. Said hi. Walked right past.
Wow. Yeah. You don't want to break that spell. You got to keep this thing going.
Wow. It was so weird. It was really like seeing a celebrity, you know?
Yeah. It is. It does seem like that kind of the social media world is like celebrity culture.
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea of another person.
It's so true. Met,
don't know in any way.
And like people who have a shtick on Instagram where they're like, oh, like I show the foods I'm eating, or I like do lots of videos of my dog, you know?
Yeah, that's me.
And then you see them in real life, and even if you know them a little bit, it is kind of like, oh my God, I know so much about your dog, you know?
It's perverted.
Yeah, it is. It is perverse.
I mean, the real question is, did you see Challengers?
I haven't seen a thing, Jeremy. I'm sorry. I know you wrote me that email, but I haven't had time.
So, wow. I mean, what, are you going to watch this movie in Europe?
Yeah, actually. Because then I could see it with some, like, subtitles in another language. That'd be cool, right?
Okay. It's amazing. And also, The Iron Claw is on HBO, and I was so surprised by how good this movie is.
Okay, because meanwhile, I'm thinking, I will never watch a movie like that.
You know, I saw a trailer for this movie, and I thought, that looks like it'd be nice to watch.
Well,
those men walking around like that.
Yeah.
And then I saw some, like, press for it, and I thought, there's absolutely no way I'm going to watch this movie.
I have such trouble looking at Zac Efron. Such trouble.
Yes, and especially in, like, interviews, I found it to be disturbing. So I didn't watch it.
Right. But I don't. I have no trouble looking at those other two. I think he's no trouble.
I think it's an exceptional movie.
Okay.
I really am like, this is, I don't know when, was this a holiday movie release? I don't know, but
Christmas
I'm like,
time.
This is truly one of the best movies of last year.
Wow. What happened in the awards circuit? Didn't get anything.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's an incredible movie, and I'm excited for you to see it someday, and we'll talk about it. So two sports movies.
Wow.
How bizarre.
Wow.
That just sort of transcend.
I don't really think of Challengers as a sports movie, but
I know. I didn't either until I listened to the Los Culturistas review yesterday, and I was like, right, this is a sports movie.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But it's so, it's just, it's really incredible. I want you to see it before I get into it, but
all right.
It was what I wanted this movie to be, because the trailer looked so basic, and I thought, this can't be this basic as a Luca Guadagnino film.
No.
And it certainly is not.
Well, so, I'm really looking forward to it.
I want to go see it again.
And as I said last week, I saw Mike Feist at the Illinois party, and he is tall. Okay.
I mean, they are all so incredible in this movie. This movie is just like, you're all superstars.
Zoop.
The end.
Zoop.
Welcome
to stardom.
Stars. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that for them. Love.
Yeah. So that's something we're not going to talk about right now.
Not right now. Not right now. I'm
what
sorry.
Else is there to talk about?
Well, let me tell you. I'm now doing the thing where I look back at my calendar. I went to the ballet on Friday.
Great.
They did Scène de Ballet, which is an old Chris Wheeldon ballet that he made on the School of American Ballet, and it continues to
be... We're seeing a Christopher Wheeldon...
Tonight.
Bitter...
Yes.
Fruit? What is this?
Earth.
Earth.
I designed it.
Seriously?
I'm not even...
Okay.
Not even joking.
So Jack and I were watching Pantano's Dances on YouTube last night, and we watched the New York City Ballet, somebody talk, I don't remember who it was, talking about Gustave Le Gray. And those costumes. I'm just gonna talk about it every week. But then we watched the Lincoln. What is that place?
Lincoln Center.
Not Lincoln Center.
The Kennedy Center.
Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. We watched that performance, which is, you know, the full thing is on YouTube.
With the two men and the two women.
And I was just I truly like these costumes, good, you know, historic. These are, like, important costumes.
I agree. I would agree.
Period.
I'd agree.
Period. Like,
I mean,
the
look.
The way they, the dance.
They are definitely in it. They are in line with a history of dance costumes of that, of their kind. But they're, in this context, they are rare. And if you're looking at the history of powerful solo female modern dance artists, Martha Graham, Ruth St. Denis, or Ruth Page. Ruth Page? Ruth Page? Wait, one second. Let's just get our history lesson right for the day, okay?
Elliot Page.
No. Yeah, Ruth Page. We have these two famous Ruths, but these women were exploring fabric.
Babe Ruth.
In its kind of like raw state, you know,
right.
They were like, what can Jersey do? What can a square of silk be? And like, how can the body and this fabric be in conversation with one another? And I think this is a piece that is a part of that conversation. It's a part of that lineage. And Harriet and I had obviously been leading up to it with like the bags that we'd made for one of the Guggenheim shows and like the other Jersey bags that we made for Netta's piece at our second Guggenheim show. And so like there were these like experiments that we'd done with like using squares of fabric or using fabric unpatterned. But these are a kind of refined version of that because they are cut. They are triangles more than they are squares, but they are spectacular. Yeah.
They're spectacular.
The way
that it works with the dance is just sublime.
Yeah.
So, it's slay. Beautiful.
Thank you. but then you watch them. Did you... Anyways... Tonight I have two designs on the show tonight.
That's crazy.
It happens sometimes. It's a good feeling. I felt like a celebrity when I saw Gustave Le Gray last week and I went into the mezzanine afterwards and everyone was like, your costumes. I was like, I know. It's amazing.
They're miraculous. I wish that was on the program tonight too.
I'm sorry. But... Law of Mosaics and Bitter Earth and Herman Schmerman and something else. Oh, the Kyle piece.
The new Love. Is that, and that's a new one?
Well, it's from a while ago, but I never saw it. Love Letter on Shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Abraham has this incredible policy. Do you know what it is?
No.
Kyle will not let his work be seen on a mixed bill of a program without a female choreographer on the same program.
That's tremendous.
It's literally that simple. You just have to make a rule.
Wow. Okay, everyone. Make rules.
Make a rule so that we can have equity in this world.
Okay. Imagine if someone with, like, more power position was doing that.
Imagine. Just imagine it. So that's amazing. And we get to see Forsythe. We get to see Tanowitz. We get to see it's Abraham.
It's so incredible.
It's an amazing
show. What a great show.
Yeah. And...
Nomi's here, and she's digging in a blanket.
Cute. Like a crazy thing. She's digging in. But anyways, the night that I went to the ballet, I saw Pulcinella, which is a Justin Peck dance I really like very much. And I saw Scène de Ballet, this old Chris Wheeldon dance that he made on the students of School of American Ballet. It continues to be danced by students from School of American Ballet, so they're so cute.
What's that?
No, it's cute. They're really, it's Stravinsky, and they're so
It's children's, it's just like a cute children's moment.
Well, it ends, it's being all ages of people from the school, so at a certain point, there's like quite mature students from the school doing, you know, hard things. But you would like the set. It's like... very animation style, and it's this perspective kind of warp where it looks like a painting of a very high-ceilinged ballet studio in Imperial Russia. And
okay. And
you're looking, so basically like imagine a diagonal from like the top corner of the stage to the bottom opposite corner of the stage.
Okay.
And the dance is devised in such a way that diagonal line is a mirror. So everything happening in the one triangle.
That's nice.
And the set makes it look like that. You're like, I literally am looking in, there's a mirror, huge mirror.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. So then
okay. They
did Pulcinella, which is great. And then they did Symphony in Three, which is iconic, classic, what have you.
Great.
And Unity Phelan.
Really nice.
Unity Phelan made her debut in the Pas de Deux with Adrian, and they were so glamorous. It was crazy. It was beautiful. let me tell you other things that happened this week. I'm going to open up this conversation, okay? Opening it up.
Okay. Open it up.
Opening it up. Opening it up. Oh, I was meant to have a breakfast date on Saturday. They canceled. Their grandmother died, so...
Our thoughts and prayers are with the family.
Thoughts and prayers with a person I've never met. Yeah. Then I had a line dance practice in the rain on Saturday, followed by, I went to an amazing birthday party of my friend Carrie Brody at her friend Anna's.
You live for a birthday party.
Yeah. At her friend Anna's apartment, which is across the street from Stonewall. I say apartment, I mean house. It's her family's home. And wow. It was really nice. And they were passing grilled cheese sandwiches with preserved orange cut into quarters. And I was like, this is literally the best order a person could have. And also crab toast. And the like snacks table was one of the best in history. One of the best in history.
Money.
Huge blanched asparagus.
Huge money.
Huge blanched asparagus with fried onions. I mean, really delicious. So that was a great party. I had a good time. Then. Sunday, I had dinner with James Whiteside, early dinner, and that was so nice.
Where are we going to dinner tonight?
Oh, well, we have a very short while, don't we?
Very quick turnaround.
The show is at 7:30 or 7?
7:30, I believe.
Okay, and you arrive 5:45?
Supposedly.
So I know that you can make it uptown by 6:10.
That seems right. Well,
if your train is good, right? Well, let's.
Which
think
I was
about
just
it.
Informed that there's no food service on this train, which I've absolutely never done. Have you ever engaged with the train? Food?
Well, yes, in the past, but I don't do that anymore. But you know, it's just like a cold bagel in a cellophane wrapper with like a Philadelphia tub. That's the food, or you get.
Aren't there like food cars that you can sit in?
Yes, there's the cafe car.
Dynamic.
Well, that's on like a real, like on a trip where they like serve you a meal.
Okay.
But I haven't myself been on the Orient Express. But I'd like to, for sure. What else is that? I went to the dentist. That was aggravating.
Wow.
It was just a quick cleaning. I have a dentist now who cleans so quickly. It's truly a 10-minute ordeal, but...
What?
Yeah, it's...
That doesn't seem right.
I mean, it seems thorough. He's just incredibly efficient. And then he does, like, he he tests your gum depth, and he's like, okay, as long as your gums are not receding, keep coming in every 6 months. And we're like, okay. Anyways, it turned out my new insurance did not pay for the appointment, so I had to pay out of pocket $105.
Well, that seems okay, but...
It would have been better if it was free. You know what I mean?
Now you have to find a new dentist.
Yes. I mean, I can't even think about it. It's absurd.
Seems easier to just pay $100.
I think I'm gonna start getting my union insurance shortly, and then I'll use their insurance to pay for the dentist because it's really good.
Great.
Because we actually got paid by this Broadway show that we're working on.
Wow!
Yes, I know. Can you believe it?
It's a miraculous.
It's a thing that we haven't experienced. As two-time Broadway designers, one-time Broadway designer, paid designer. One-time
internship. Paid, just consider it
an one-time internship. Paid Broadway designer. I wonder if is that news to people on this podcast?
I think sort of. I think it's right. Been...
Well, best not to delve too deeply into it. It's dark. I had a lovely dinner at Russell's house, kind of our final dinner before he moves up to Massachusetts.
Oh.
A little sad. And I had actually a really nice brunch with Russell at... at Russ and Daughters Cafe, which is like my favorite place to have lunch.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's just like they have the best dishware. The food is so considered, and the environment's so beautiful. And I was telling Russell about some memorial services that I've been to recently, and Russell started crying. And I thought, Russell, you didn't know these people. Are you crying? And then he goes, I'm gonna miss you. And I said, oh. Sad.
You're not dying.
No, I'm not. I might.
We watched some of you and Harriet's show from the Guggenheim, including Jack's section of Russell and Burr dancing together, which is so fun.
Such a good piece.
And I saw Burr on Saturday, the Trisha Brown dance.
Yeah, excuse me. How long were you in the city?
3 hours.
Oh, okay. I went to see that on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I was there on Saturday, so...
Okay.
Where were you?
I didn't go.
How long were you in the city?
Always and forever.
I had to go to IKEA afterwards. I just had to go.
Wow, that's gorgeous. In Brooklyn?
No, in Paramus.
Whoa. Okay.
On my way home. And it was very much the experience of, like, a fugue state, and afterwards feeling like I just spent a lot of money, but... Did I get anything?
But usually at IKEA's bang for the buck, no? Didn't you get a lot?
I really felt like, wow, inflation.
Well, what did you buy? I'd love to hear a list.
This and that. A lot of, like, a cup and a plate and a...
No. Didn't you need... You that. Went to IKEA to not... You didn't need something monumental? Something...
I didn't need anything.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You just wanted to be in an IKEA?
I just wanted to, like... Look at the latest and greatest.
Well, you know what? I would say that sounds crazy, but I've done the same thing. And Russell
it's
and I...
It's absolutely a pleasure to look at, like...
Russell and I have done the model room walkthrough many a time just to only to sit and have lunch and leave. You know, maybe buy a trinket or two, a watering can. But, like...
Absolutely. That's what I'm there for. I'm for, like...
Yeah.
A little this thing, a little that thing. I mean, I was open to, like, some kind of storagey thing or whatever, but...
Yeah. Well, the walk through the staged rooms is one of the great pleasures of our time.
I don't like that
time.
Part.
Really?
I'm always like, just get me to like the where I buy the things.
The warehouse part.
I don't need to see someone else's ideas.
Did you have a full cart or did you have just a bag on your shoulder?
I had a pretty full cart.
Wow. Of just stuff.
Yeah. Of just... And then, you know, 2 days later, I was like, oh, I really wish I'd bought those other things.
You love shopping.
Well, I don't do it.
What was your favorite thing you got?
Favorite thing I got? What was the favorite thing I got? I mean, this is part of the thing, right? I'm like, what did I even get? I got a little lamp. I got two lamps.
Okay, describe.
Just love lamps.
I love lamps, too.
And I think IKEA really has, like, clever designs.
They're decent. They really are. I have many IKEA lamps, but I would love in my...
Wow, and I got this, like, standing... lamp that was so geniusly packaged. What a pleasure.
Wow.
To unpackage this thing.
They really know how to do that.
it was worth it for that.
Yeah.
Just like the ingenious way that this was packaged.
Wow.
I don't know. What was probably those lamps? You know, I got like some nice this and that's like nothing, you know, some like kind of larger serving bowl type things.
I love.
Very nice. I got a rug, which was the most expensive thing.
Okay, what size?
Like a, I don't know, 8x10 kind of
thing. Oh, big. Pretty big.
Yeah, big rug. Pretty which big. Is why it was expensive.
Yeah.
What
color?
Where's
it going?
Well, I got it for Jack, but Jack didn't want it, so...
For Jack's office?
It's in their bedroom, yeah.
Jack didn't want it, so now it's in the bedroom.
Well, I kind of thought it might not work in there, so... you know. It has a home. It has a place. Yeah. Yeah, very this and that.
I really... One day, when I become a senior citizen, which is, I guess, the next phase of life... Mm-hmm. I was going to say when I'm an adult, but it seems I've almost surpassed that. I would like to have...
Or skipped it.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to have, like, kind of a couple fancy lamps, you know?
Fancy lamps?
Like, the really, like, nice ones.
I don't even know what this is.
I walk past a fancy lamp shop every day, so I think about it.
Like a French...
Like floss... You know, like those floss, like Northern Europe, what have you.
Okay.
You know, lamps that cost like $2,200 or something. I mean, I haven't.
That's your goal.
I haven't even gone in that shop. I'm afraid to look at the price tags, but like, it's like that.
Yeah. All right.
And well, maybe I'll get them on like First Dibs or, you know, whatever, but still.
I do want to see it in this apartment.
Well, hopefully they won't be in my apartment. Although, to kind of glam up this little apartment would be fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my next big project in here, I'm going to paint these floors with like real, like deck paint. I'm going to get them like light gray.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I did have somebody come to give us a quote on windows, and let me tell you what, we shan't be getting windows.
Wow, what was it?
$60,000.
I knew it. Wow.
Which isn't even for all of the windows.
Wow. Wow.
So that's not going to happen.
Wow. Jeremy, that's like huge renovation.
Huge. 50. So
why were they going to like be milling them or like, were they going to be custom windows?
Well, the replacement windows. I think that we can find somewhere cheaper. But who knows?
Are those windows standard sized windows? Like, could you actually order?
I think they're pretty standard. So I do think that this is like, would probably be like the best windows we could get. Maybe. I don't really know. I just wanted to like start somewhere and get a sense of, I'm trying to suss out like, you know, what should we tackle? Trying to like make a longer term plan.
Wow.
So I think we're gonna get like
I'm both stunned and not stunned at all, you know?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So I mean it's fine like in a way we don't currently have to do anything.
Okay.
But
well great.
You know, there's an efficiency.
Like, yeah, your house
just keep paying for, you know. To end the world or whatever. So.
Your house is blowing all its heat outside through all the cracks.
Yeah, I think the next thing is going to be like to get a fireplace situation.
I mean, $50,000, you might as well just move, you know?
Well, I don't, that's not how it works.
Sell the house, sell the house, use whatever profit you can make from all your cute painting you've done and get a different house with windows, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think that sounds good. Although,
yeah.
I like your house a lot.
Yeah.
You have a huge backyard.
Huge. Huge.
Is it time to harvest the mulberries?
Nope. It's actually been the last tree to green.
Oh.
Interesting. So I don't know what its schedule is. But yeah, lots of gardening going on.
Wow. Sometimes a thing happens to the orange trees. I can't remember if it's from a freeze or from something else, but all the leaves fall down and then the tree is just millions of oranges.
What?
Yeah, just bright oranges, no leaves.
And then what happens?
And then they pick the oranges and I don't know, hopefully the tree revives.
Is it like, okay.
Yeah, I don't think the tree's dead at that point, but oranges trees do not, occasionally there are these freezes in Florida that like, you know, there's a special weather person who like prepares the growers for it and they're like, it's going to get below 20 degrees tonight. Uh-huh. So then they have all these measures in place to like try to keep the trees warm.
Turn heaters on.
Yeah, they do tire fires and heaters and fans and like all this
stuff.
Blankets
on them.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Sometimes if it's
hug a tree.
Like a freezing wet situation, they'll hedge their bets and say, okay, there's going to be a coating of ice on the trees. And that coating of ice will keep the trees warm enough that they'll survive
insulated.
The freeze. Because
wow.
As long as they don't drop below like 20 degrees, they'll be, or like 22 or something, they'll be okay. And the ice keeps them at a safe place.
Wow, that seems counterintuitive, but I guess it's like being covered in snow.
I am learning.
Like an igloo.
I am learning about science from this book.
So useful. my rosemary has flowered, which I've never seen.
Wow.
So I don't know what that's about.
What are the flowers?
I don't know if that's
look
a good
like.
Or a bad thing. Like little purple flowers.
Oh, beautiful.
Maybe it's not rosemary? I don't know.
Well,
Google it, I guess.
Does it have those, like, spiky pine stems?
Does it, like, look like rosemary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it smell like rosemary?
Does it taste like rosemary? Sure does.
I bet it's rosemary.
I made a Alison Roman apple galette, which was very nice,
uh-huh.
But... you know, couldn't hold a torch to Claire Saffitt's apple pie.
Oh, really?
But Claire's pie, so this was, I was curious because I think Claire's apple pie recipe is baked for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And this was like an hour bake, so.
Right. Well, pie's
different.
Very thick.
Well, yes. I mean, and the pie is like a, you know, covered. But
yeah.
This was also, I mean, yeah, different thing. I did feel like I wanted the apples to be more tender, something that did happen when I microwaved it.
Oh. Wow.
But yeah, it was nice. It was certainly way easier, so.
At Russell's house, he made this onion and tarragon pasta. It was absolutely scrumptious.
Yum.
Yeah.
I have tarragon growing in the garden.
Just like cook a whole bunch of red and one white onion at once, three red, one white, and cook them down till they're kind of translucent. I'm sure there's like some other stuff going on, garlic, what have you, but then you put all this tarragon in it and add pasta water, pasta cheese, yum yum yum.
Absolutely. I mean, just put some butter on some pasta and you're, you know, in heaven. So like add anything else, you really don't. It's pretty simple.
Sometimes the other stuff spoils it, and the butter was just all you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching Hacks?
You know, I have. I don't like the main assistant actress.
I don't like either of them, I have to
say.
So
I skipped season 2, and then because I don't really have, we don't have much right now, so I did pick up in season 3, and I've watched the first episode or two.
Did you see the scene where Pat Regan comes into the hotel?
I did see that scene.
That was actually very funny.
Very good. I thought this is excellent. This is absolutely right.
That was perfect. I was like, well, this is one scene I can get behind. That's for
Yeah, sure. I think the show is not for me. I don't think I'll watch anymore, but I have been thoroughly enjoying The Jinx and the Jerry Carmichael shit situation has, I'm like totally on the other side. I'm absolutely here for the show.
Interesting.
I'm here for the whole scenario. I think, I mean, the last week's episode was a kind of antidote to the second episode, which was about like how he cheated all the time. This episode was they opened their relationship. Like they like, you know, they're talking about it. Wow. It's so it's kind of a relief that like it's not so basic. And
so the boyfriend, I never got to the boyfriend, but the boyfriend is like an on-camera character.
A very reluctant kind of, like, he really doesn't come in to focus until, you know, whatever the previous, I think we're in like 6-7 episodes out of 8 right now.
Wow.
Maybe there's one more episode is my feeling. But yeah, the boyfriend has definitely like come more into the show in a way, but still sort of like, it's a very like soft, you know, sort of out of focus character. But yeah. I feel like as his presence in Jared Carmichael's life feels like it makes him much better.
Okay.
Like, it just, like, makes him, like, a more interesting, dynamic, empathetic character in this way. 'Cause, like, they go to his parents' house, and there's, you know, their weird dynamics continue. And it continues to be sort of, you know, cringiness. But I also listened to an interview with him about the show. That I thought was, I was like, essentially that like showing all, just kind of showing these like cringe things that are real, quote unquote, real, you know, that there's like value to saying or putting like things maybe you don't want to see out into the world.
Right.
And that,
right.
The biggest explanation for me was that like his parents' way of dealing with their relationship is like not doing anything in silence, essentially. And he's like, what I'm doing might not be great, but it's something.
Right.
You know, I'm like, this is what the way that I can do it. They're not doing anything. So I'm going to choose like doing it as a show. And yeah, that really resonated with me. Huh. I was like, because there's an aspect of like these people who have kind of like removed themselves or like allow life to just be a kind of silent shadow. I don't really feel obligated to continue engaging with them.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm going to, like, it's gonna kind of have to be through, like, what I want my life to be, which is, like, an artist who makes things.
Right.
In this case, like, I'm making a show. So, like, it's worth my life force to engage when there's this additional kind of energetic thing that I do want my life to be, which is about, like, making things and kind of aerating the weirdnesses of life. So understanding that that's like, really sticky and gross also, you know, is a part of it, I think.
Uh-huh.
But kind of like, yes, but the alternative is just like silence and nothing happening.
Right. All right. Well, so this show is just like an expressive way for this person to live their life and not just like look at their phone.
Kind of. I mean, it is like a weird thing. It's a weird thing. It doesn't, you know, and it's not like, I think that there's definitely room for this thing of like, is there a better way than this? And
right.
I certainly hope so. Like, you know, but, yeah, well, there's, it's like, he had to make a show for HBO.
Even based on...
he didn't
on...
want to make, like, a sitcom about his family again, which he did.
What,
so he's
kind of
like,
that?
Well, what if we just, like, do... He had, like, the Jared... Or it was maybe it was called the Carmichael Show or something. It was, like, a sitcom.
Alright.
And he's like, I don't want to do that again. And, like, what... So what am I going to do? And he's like, well, what... You know, this... Like, what if it's just, like, a reality show?
Yeah.
And use it to like do these things I kind of don't want to do. Which is
well,
like,
yeah, I guess that would
talk to your parents and
be
stuff.
Very effective at waking you up when you have the pressure of like viewership and cameras and stuff. You're like, okay, I guess I have to do this thing I proposed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I should get a crew, and that way I'll actually be able to run the errands I write on a list. You know, I'll be like,
absolutely.
I'll be like, ugh, so, I actually do have to go to the bank today. You know.
Yeah.
But. I did do something yesterday that I'd been putting off for my entire life, I think.
Wow.
So you know how everyone taps their phone on the train now?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to teach everybody something that Ricky Ubeda taught Harriet and I yesterday at the theater. The Star of Illinois taught Harriet and I something. Okay. Not yet 30.
How to ride the subway.
How to ride the subway cost effective style. So
okay.
I've had this card for the last million years called the Easy Pay Express, which is like, supposedly, if you use the card enough, it just becomes an unlimited. But like, if you don't, it just charges you for the like swipes you used. This is not true. The Easy Pay Express just charged you a monthly unlimited fee, which was like $132, period.
Uh-huh.
So there's a... people been tapping their phones on the thing.
That's right.
You just tap it. It does takes it out of your Apple Pay credit card, whatever. Now, then there's all these signs on the train that say Omni. And it says, like,
uh-huh.
if you tap it a certain number of times in a week, it's
uh-huh.
it caps. You know, it caps off. So uh-huh. so basically, like, a monthly unlimited on an Omni would be $136.
Uh-huh.
Because... that would be the maximum amount of money tapping
right.
you could do before all these caps. So basically,
uh-huh.
you can have an unlimited MTA card for $132, or you can engage in this Omni tapping for $136 if you actually reach the 136.
Uh-huh.
But you have to sign up for Omni. It's not just automatic Omni. So you have to go into the Omni website on MTA. You have to sign up, be in the Omni system, get your credit card connected to Omni, and then you're off to the
okay.
races, Omni style.
There you go.
It's
that
not
seems,
just
yeah,
automatic.
A given.
It's not Omni unless you're in Omni, okay?
Interesting.
And that's
hot,
some,
hot
something
news
we
off
learned.
The press.
So I'm now... I had to cancel my Easy Pay Express, which was such a hassle, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
Because I called them up. I finally got someone on the line after a couple different phone calls because I tried to cancel it online. You cannot. You can only suspend it and pay $30 a month. And so I called them up. I said, I'd like to cancel my Easy Pay Express. They said, okay, well, you still have 2 weeks or like 18 days left on the cycle. And, so you'd be forfeiting the rest of the month. They don't
oh
do
my
the
God.
They don't do the thing where they're like, we'll let it ride out and you cancels at the end of the month. That's not a thing. They were like, you could call at the end of the month and cancel it, or because it'll refresh.
Cancel your credit card.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or you can cancel it today, but you'll lose the rest of the month.
It's
and,
insane.
And I was like,
criminal.
I was like, well, can you? I was like, I'm leaving town.
They're like, no.
I'm leaving town Thursday.
Can't.
Could you schedule the cancellation for Thursday? They were like, no. And I was like, then I'll be canceling it right this very minute. Thank you so much.
They're like, no problem.
They
thank
were like,
you
absolutely whatever. It's canceled. Bye. I was like, bye. Thank you, bitches.
And now you're an Omni member.
Now I am Omni.com.
Well, slay, honey.
And I'm tapping my phone. I am nervous that at some point my phone will be dead when I need to get on the train, but you just have to have a MetroCard
an emergency Metro card at the ready, you know.
Absolutely.
I always have, anyways, you know.
Yeah, also, your phone has to be charged.
It just isn't always. No. Sometimes it runs out.
Well, you gotta be better about it.
Don't yell at me, please.
I know. I literally have my little, like, charger next to me because every time I go to the city, I'm, like, desperate for some power on my phone.
Desperate.
And I'm like, what happened?
You have to go find an Apple store.
I'm trying. Yeah, you go buy another, like, thing. It's crazy. Well, that's important information for people in New York City, because I certainly didn't know that. I feel like that should be the sign. You have to sign up for Omni to get the Omni benefits.
Right.
This is not just happening to you. Cool. Well, I'm excited to see you later. Maybe we'll do some live correspondence journalism from the show tonight for next week.
Oh my god, fun! That's fun.
Fun, especially since you're gonna be gone.
Well, I can talk to you the same exact way we talk now, but just I'll be in Europe.
At like 4 p.m. or something.
It'll be different. I mean, next...
Yeah.
By next Wednesday, where will I be? I think next Wednesday I'm traveling from Barcelona to Germany.
Wow.
So...
International explorer.
I'm an international explorer. Maybe we'll talk in the morning on Wednesday when it's the morning for me and not the morning for you. But I can't do 10 o'clock in the morning anymore while I'm gone.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Sure.
It'll
be later there. I don't know what
you're saying. Oh, yes, I can. I lied to you.
You know,
I lied. That's what I'm
saying. It'll be like in the afternoon sometime.
I'm sorry. Maybe we can do 6 a.m. recordings for you, if you'd like.
Right. I mean, that is actually fine. I'll be awake. Yeah. Okie dokie.
That was a fun
episode.
That
meeting
was fun.
Now.
I had fun today.
I'm glad. I'm so glad. I had just a blast, a huge blast. I got to get this book on oranges.
You really do. John McPhee. It's called Oranges. So.
I just read Derrida's book, Archive Fever, which is essentially an essay. Highly recommend, especially at this time.
Derrida's.
And yeah, Judith Butler. And then I just got this book called Transgender Issues.
Okay.
By...
Wow.
Sean Faye, F-A-Y-E.
You're like on your way to being like a gender researcher over here.
Gender trouble.
It's a lot of trouble with it. I recommend getting this book. I will keep reading Aaron.
Give us the title again.
Oranges. And my friend Ben from Lion Dance gave it to me because he's the most generous person in the world, and that's all I have to say. And I...
Oh, we didn't even talk about the Trisha Brown thing.
Oh, yeah, it was lovely. What a lovely...
Wasn't it just so lovely? It's happening again, I think, this weekend.
It is, and it is
Saturday.
Truly the most pleasurable
thing
to go see.
Soft, beautiful, gentle, meditative.
Yeah, that accumulation piece on the floor with the women is just one of our great works.
I have great footage of that.
It's so beautiful, it's crazy.
It's really quite a lovely, lovely
Trisha
thing.
Brown
you
has...
You can just walk up and get like a free
cookie.
Yeah,
they'll give
whatever.
You a cookie, a coffee, and a flower, and a pinwheel. These Trisha Brown pieces are one of our great enduring dance gifts for lifetimes to come. They are tremendous works of art. They are timeless. They're so amazing. Thank you, Trisha.
I really... Okay, watching that, I really was like Donald Judd.
Yeah, sure.
Like something about like kind of the modular quality this is like exactly what that is.
Yeah, and the way that it can be set up in different orientations and organizations on these palettes, it's just so beautiful.
Loved it.
Absolute love. Anyways, go see that next week, 55th and Madison, in this like weird
550 Madison. I found out too that building with the, because I posted a picture of this marble ball with chains on it because I thought it was absurd.
I literally never saw that somehow.
But that building that's in, I guess, is a what's his name? Designed Lincoln Center.
Philip Johnson
design. And I guess this whole situation there was like a really dramatic
situation for renovation. That building looks very dramatic from the outside. I was like, this is a weird building.
It's all a very strange situation, but that's New York City for you.
That's New York, baby!
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll see you next week.
I'll see you in a few hours.
Ugh, I love it.
Okay, bye.
Love it, I love it, I love it. All right, bye. We love you.
We love you.